Mainstream Intuition with Linda Schiller-Hanna and Kim McBride.
Hello, folks. This is Linda Schiller-Hanna.
And Kim McBride.
And we're here launching Mainstream Intuition. We wanted to make a show about intuition that is mainstream so that the average person on the street can understand what two psychics do and think and discuss when they're by themselves. So we're going to let you in on our secrets.
But we also want to take the fear out of what intuition is. Everybody thinks it's very woo-woo, and I don't think it's woo-woo at all. I think that it's everybody has intuition. We just see it as different things. A lot of people see it as a gut feeling that they have about someone or a situation, and we just want people to tap into that and be able to connect to it when they need it. Usually it's a spontaneous kind of thing, and I think that a lot of people get confused by that, you know, psychic intuition is something bigger than it really is. We all have it, you know, and that's what I think.
I agree with you, Kim, and I got a new analogy just this week about this stuff. I had a vision of a raven, like a big black crow, and I saw it walking down the street with calloused feet, and it was walking and walking and walking and walking, and it was tired and exhausted, and it lived its life on the ground, walking. And then all of a sudden, it discovered these wings, and it flapped them and took off. And that's what intuition is like. It's something you've got all there, all along, but you're doing it the hard way. You're doing it on foot, walking to Kokomo instead of flying to Kokomo. And so we've learned how to fly, and that's what we want to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that analogy a lot. Well, why don't we... This is our debut show, and I'm really excited about it. And we're at WHBC 1480 News Talk Radio. So why don't we just go on about how we got into this? That's what I think a lot of people might be interested in, figuring out who we are.
I agree. For me, I think it was a natural thing. I found out only recently that I actually had relatives. It was kind of a family secret, but I had somebody, great-great-grandfather back in Iceland, who was some kind of a giant, but he was a clairvoyant and actually solved the case of a missing horse, you know, a horse thief. He resolved mm-hmm. that and ended up the mayor of the town or something. He was kind of an interesting guy, but I didn't even know this till a couple of years ago. That was like a family secret, but I do think that it does run in families, but particularly the openness to intuition runs in families. Some families are afraid of it and they shut everyone down and say you can't talk about it, and others are quite open. How was your family, Kim?
Well, in my family, I didn't even know it was intuition. Most of my family had spontaneous information come to them, and so they just acted on it, so it was no big deal. So I thought everybody functioned in that way. It wasn't that we ever talked about it was just like we knew information all at the same time. It was kind of cool.
Well, my dad had a family joke when I was a kid. We would all sit around the dining room table having dinner, and then it would be a summer day, and we would have the front door open because it was summer and we didn't have air conditioning. It was in Salem, Oregon. And all of a sudden, the door would slam because something had the wind would catch it. And my dad would always say, that's the family joke. That's the family ghost. His name is Late. He's always the last one in. And so we grew up talking about ghosts as part of our life, and he taught me to read my horoscope in the newspaper when I was about 8 and found out I was an Aries, and I learned how to, like, it was a stargazer where you had to figure out the numbers through this thing. And so I grew up with those kind of comfort in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got into astrology, right? Is that how you basically got into connecting in with your intuition?
Absolutely. I was in college, and a friend told me about astrology, and she said, oh, you're an Aries, and I didn't really know what that meant, but she started describing the characteristics of Aries, and I fit them pretty well, particularly that quick temper thing, which I'm working on. I got the best of me even earlier today. But despite that, astrology was a good tool because it taught me patterns, and it taught me to look for underlying nuances, and it was interesting to learn to understand people because I was curious about people. I wanted to understand how people think, what their motives were, so I wouldn't have so many surprises in life. I had some hard surprises as a kid, and I was really trying to prevent that.
Yeah, me too.
Did you?
That was, oh yeah.
Well, like when I was 9, my parents divorced, and you know, looking back, I mean, there was a million signs of it, you know, fighting and drinking and all kinds of carousing and wild stuff. And, you know, but I thought, I was as shocked as anybody. I thought, well, I didn't see it coming. And I thought, how did I not see something this big coming? And so that kind of turned on my switch right that day. It was like, I'm never going to be surprised again. And I started like looking for the subtle underlying nuances in behaviors with people, because I realized what they said on the surface wasn't always what was really going on.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you think that people who have tapped into their psychic ability have had to have a traumatic experience to do that? I mean, that was pretty traumatic for you at 9 years old to have your parents divorce, but I mean, I've heard that before. I myself have had some really tough things, but I thought it pulled me away from my psychic ability rather than with it. I was caught in a fire when I was 5, and I was in the hospital for a long time, and then my father died right after that. He was 24 and got killed in a car accident. But what I learned from that was to turn away from God, which I don't know if our listeners realize that. Some of our listeners out there may think that we don't believe that psychic intuition is connected to God. And if anything I've learned over my journey with this is that it proves to you every single day there's a God. So I found God when I found my psychic ability.
Well, I have to agree with you there. And we just want to let people who are just tuning in that you're listening to WHBC Talk News Talk Radio with Kim McBride and Linda Schiller-Hanna, and you're listening to Mainstream Intuition.
Good. Get those plugs in there.
One of the topics we had talked about working on today was a topic of fear versus faith. And you even asked me, is it versus faith, fear versus faith? And I don't even... Maybe versus is not the right word because it's not adversarial. But what I understand is that the mind can only hold one thought at a time. It either is in a fear thought or in a faith thought. Everything boils down to that. And so it's a choice we have to make. And I studied the New Thought religions quite a bit over the years. Everything from Christian Science, Unity, Religious Science, New Thought movement. This is kind of... come up in the 1800s, and the New Thought movement teaches that you can control your thoughts and that what you believe is kind of what you manifest. So they say that you can only have one thought at a time. So if you have a God thought, a positive thought, a faith thought, nothing negative can really happen to you. It's very amazing how you can change your life and change your world by just monitoring how you think and how you speak. And it's been kind of a lifelong journey for me ever since I learned to do that. And I do slip, but...
You're not perfect?
No.
Oh, you have a radio show. You're not perfect?
Newsflash. I have clients that sometimes tell me they're on their last life, you know, and I always just smile because I think, you know, I mess up enough every single day to have to start over. So how you can go through a whole life without a serious mistake is to me amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite subjects, but I'm sure we'll talk about that in some later shows about past lives.
Yeah, I didn't used to believe in past lives, and I learned to read them before I even believed in them. And I'd finish the reading, and I'd say to the person, well, I don't really believe in past lives, negating everything I just told them. So my journey has been kind of crooked and crazy. No, you don't. Back to your question, you did ask, do you have to have trauma to open your psychic ability? Absolutely not. It can also open in love. It can open, like when a mother thinks of her child, it's because she loves her child and there's a connection between them. We call that a heart connection. And that's why we are intuitive and psychic to our family members and our loved ones, because that love connection is going. So that's another way that you are able to stay tuned in to people, is through love, not just through fear.
Good. Well, I agree. But I know that I have been asked that question by some students. Mm-hmm. Well, we should tell them we also teach psychic intuition. It's called Lightworkers Intensive, and it's a 2-day workshop. It's intensive because it's a 12-hour class, and both Linda and myself teach those classes. I'm going to be doing, I'll put my first plug in, I'm going to be doing a class in Canton, and it's going to be March 14th and 15th at the Best Western Sunset Strip. And anybody interested, in, they could check out my website, kimmcbride.com.
Okay, great. And we also want to let folks know that we also have a a website for the show. Actually, we have a couple of them. One is mainstreamintuition.com, and the other is mainstreamintuition.ning.com, N-I-N-G.com, which is a place where you can do blogs and write questions to us and ask things you want to know about.
Like a social network. It's really nice because you can interact with other people that are watching the show or listening to the show and also watching it. We're going to have videotape. We're recording now. Wave to the camera, Linda. And we're going to have that on our websites also, our personal websites. Why don't you tell me your personal website, you know,
We're so busy. Lightworker22.com. Lightworker22, like it sounds.com. So,
I'm sure there's going to be something on the website, at least a link to get to our site. So if anybody's listening and they couldn't write those things down. But we really want this show to be an interactive site, not only on our social network, but also in asking questions. We're going to develop shows based on a lot of your questions. We do pre-record some things because both Linda and I travel a lot. Linda does a lot of lectures all over the country and sometimes outside of the country. And so she's been doing this 30 years. Why don't you give us a little bit that you've been doing?
My whole story really started in my late 20s. I was I'd read a lot of astrology books, and then I got into books on psychics. I thought, boy, some lifetime I'd like to come back as a psychic. I didn't think you could develop it. I didn't know it was a learnable skill. Like, I've been told that you can learn to sing with training, and I know I learned to swim with training, and I learned to ride a bicycle with training. Well, you can also develop your intuition with training. But anyway, I read about Edgar Cayce. He was America's greatest psychic, and he lived in the 1800s to 1945. And you spell his name K-C-C-A-Y-C-E. And I'm actually a lecturer with the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach. But the point is that Cayce would be able to do readings by just laying down and kind of going to sleep and focusing in on people. He had an amazing gift. But it didn't really say much about how he developed that, except for that he read the Bible every day. So based on that one clue, I started reading the Bible every day with the goal of being more psychic. And interestingly enough, God answered. Within 2 weeks, I was given a book called Dream Power by Ann Faraday, and that book said half of all dreams come true. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I decided that night to write down my first dream. And as it so happened, it was in December of, I believe, 78. I was living in the Bay Area in California. And it was on the news that Skylab, this 3-ton space lab, was going to fall to Earth. And they said it might fall on somebody. And because I came from a family where there was a lot of violence and fear, I assumed it was going to fall on me. So I went
The world is all about me. Yes, I have that problem, too, when I was a child.
It's the chicken little syndrome. Anyway, so I went to sleep worrying about this satellite and on the very same day that I'd read this book about you have to write your dreams down to develop your psychic ability. So I wrote it down. And sure enough, that first night I dreamed about a satellite falling on me, my family. And we were in a tall building in Perth, Australia. Well, I'd never been to Perth, Australia, but I wrote it down. And it hit, my mother was in the dream. She was wearing one of those highway worker orange vests. So that to me meant danger and all this. And I promptly forgot about it. I thought, oh, you can't get the first dream right. You're just starting out. But a few months later, it was back in the news. Skylab's going to fall down. We don't know where. And I happened to reread the dream, and something in my stomach went, And that is it. That little nudge or feeling you get in your stomach, pay attention. That is the clue y'all need to know.
That's
and
for sure.
And that little voice said, call Australia. And this is long before internet faxes or anything. This is a long time ago. So I went to the library and I asked the librarian, can you give me the name of the newspaper in Perth? And she looked it up and she had a phone number. And I called him and I said, I'm calling from California. I have had a dream that Skylab's going to come down in Perth. And it's going to hit a tall building. Now, I don't know. I don't expect everybody to leave tall buildings, but I'm going to feel terrible if it does happen. And I don't tell anybody. I would feel terrible. So I don't want anybody hurt just because I didn't say something. So I talked to the editor of the paper. His name was Ralph Urin, and he interviewed me and published it in the newspaper, and within 2 days it fell down within 400 miles of Perth. It broke up in pieces. And so I called myself the Skylab Psychic because of that, because it really was an amazing hit. Like he said, in terms of space travel, 400 miles is particularly close. And the PS to the story is I could never figure out what was that tall building, because it never did hit a tall building. But I kept the newspaper article in the San Francisco Chronicle. I carried it around for a long time, and the front page shows this tall building with Skylab going over. So they were showing me an alternative view. Had I seen it miss the building, I wouldn't have called.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It was my wake-up call. Mm-hmm. So we get our wake-up calls in different ways. And they say if you're good at something in the beginning, if you have an early success in something, that means you're on your path. Well, I was feet first on my path. I started out with this wonderful hit. Haven't really done anything nearly spectacular since. I still impress myself with that one. How did I do that? Well, I didn't do it. My higher self did that. My guides did that. My angels did that. God did that. That's what I really think.
Well, they needed you to get on the path because, yeah. You know, you've taught over 1,500 students this technique of how to get in touch with your intuition, and you had a lot of work to do. I'm one of them. I took the class 7 years ago, and I didn't want to, but this is when my intuition started kicking in. Through a friend...
It's a long story.
I know, but it's a long story. But it was a friend who was in New York. He had met somebody he knew in college, and this guy started telling him all kinds of stuff about himself. And so he was like, you know, what are you, a psychic? And he goes, well, I hate that term. And I, to this day, hate that term also. But he said, I'm a reluctant psychic. Let's put it that way. So anyhow, he told my friend that he had to get me connected with this woman and get this book. And so here he did get me the book. He calls me, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. So he got me the book. Long story short, he ended up meeting Linda and wanted me to meet Linda. And I said, you know, I've used psychics entertaining-wise. You know, for my mother's 60th birthday, we went and got a psychic, and we all had readings. And it was fun, but I never put a whole lot into it. I don't know what I was thinking about at the time. But anyhow, so we ended up meeting Linda at her house, and she gave me this flyer, and it was like, you know, more money than I had to my name. And I'm like, oh, right, like I can afford that class. And I swear, that piece of paper nagged me for like 2 months. And I said, okay, well, I'll call her and say, I have no money. Can I send you like $10 a week or something like that? And I said, oh, she'll never go for that. And she said, sure. And I went, oh, no. So anyhow, I ended up paying over time to get to the class. Then she said, well, why don't you drive with me? And I'm like, and it's in Michigan. You know, I was not out of Cleveland very long. And so anyhow, what ended up happening is I went to the class, and I was very frustrated and couldn't run away because I drove up with her like I would have ran away. And my life changed that day. I think that's what the resistance was. And I think resistance is a big thing. I am the queen of resistance. And so anyhow, what ended up happening, it changed my life. I found a soon-to-be dear friend. We weren't friends for a couple years after the class, and then we started hooking up, and again, miracles happened between us. So I'm grateful for them making you see that Skylab fall out of the sky, you know.
It's News Talk.
Yeah.
1480 WHBC. We'll let you know. We'll be right back.